The Old Testament scriptures instruct us that God's word is like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. It also reminds us that it's not by might nor by power, but as with my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And men and women, if you want and have a desire to see those scriptures and more illustrated, then you have it before us on this the day of Pentecost. Peter has stood forth along with the other apostles, and he is speaking, preaching the word. And as he does so, he knows what it is to be endued with power of the Holy Ghost in order to speak that word boldly. And it ought to be noticed that the church was not something that was dead. The church wasn't something that was just going through the religious motions, but rather there's life with it. There's a vibrancy with the church at this juncture. And I want you to see that the people in the city were amazed at what had been happening. And so they congregated together, and they do so in order to hear the apostles speak. And in effect, what we're witnessing is God intervening on this, the day of Pentecost. We cannot describe it. We cannot give any other explanation that is plausible. To think that 3,000 souls are spoken about has been added unto them. It's only something that God could do. God intervening. In a few chapters' time, you will see how God intervenes in the life of just one man. That man has the name of Saul of Tarsus. But here we're seeing God intervening among the multitudes that were found at this feast day of Pentecost. And before I go any further, listen, that's what we need to see today. We need to see God intervening in the denomination. We need to see God intervening in our lives. We need to see God intervening in our little province. Nothing short of it. And this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. And he intervened as Peter was found to preach the word. The message was in the power of God's Spirit as he drew them to consider the Lord Jesus and how they had crucified and slain him. That message was scriptural in its content. We looked at that last week and how he is found to quote from the Old Testament scriptures and writers. And he showed them how what the Old Testament prophets had written in some part was being fulfilled now before their very eyes. The message that proved that the only Savior was not dead, but that he was alive again, and having arose from the dead, and he must be, because the giving of the Holy Spirit was promised only upon his return to the Father's throne. But it was also a message whereby Peter was to drive home the word in a pointed manner. He didn't just bring some facts to them. He didn't just bring a eulogy. He also sought to apply it to the hearts of those who were before them. And it is important for us to understand who this congregation consisted of. Those gathered were entirely made up of the Jewish community. They were Jews. Jews gathered from various parts. The preaching unto the Gentiles, it didn't manifest itself until later on, particularly as Peter was led of God's Spirit even to go to the house of Cornelius. That's some chapters off. But these were Jews. But yet, it wasn't presumed by Peter, it wasn't presumed by the other apostles that they all belonged to the Lord. That would have been a false premise, just as much as it would be for any preacher this morning to presume that all who gather for worship on the Lord's day in the meeting house are belonging to God.